But before we go ahead, I just want to introduce myself to those who are new, our visitors. Once again, welcome to you guys. My name is Werner. I'm one of the elders here in this congregation on a team of about 13 elders, I think we are now, serving on Kevin's team. And I've had the privilege to call this my home for the last 15 years, I think, saved into this congregation. And as I was getting ready this morning, and just preparing, I actually had a dream. It's quite a funny one. And just to lighten the mood a little bit. I dreamed that I came here and I got this new iPad that usually I had my computer. And this thing didn't want to work. And then I had to print my notes out and then came to the front here and I had my notes and I couldn't read them because my eyesight was so bad. So it was my birthday the other day and it's also my spiritual birthday. So I think a little bit to do with that, you realize that you're getting older and for various reasons. And I spoke to you, Nicole, with regards to just phases of my life and you know, thinking back of what the Lord has done. And just realizing where you come from and take stock a bit when it's that time of the year and it's your birth, and especially when you celebrate also that you got saved. And as a youngster, I remember no one could tell me anything. I knew everything. I was always right with my parents, friends. I was that annoying friend that always had to be right. And as I find myself now in my 30s and 40s, I realize actually I don't know that much. And I need to learn quite a bit still. And that's the phases of life we go through. And I believe the next phase is that you find yourself is you actually start forgetting the things that you know. And some of you might relate and find yourself in different spaces if you're youth or in your 30s, 40s. And also with marriage, I couldn't wait to get married. You know, you want a partner and a spouse and you just all gung-ho. You just want to get married and be with someone. And I don't know about you, but for my marriage, the first 2 years, I just wanted to run away. I mean, it's like, I wanted this person, but I don't know if I can live with her for the rest of my life. So let that be a testimony to make sure that you sort out all your problems before you get married, that you don't have to deal with them in marriage. And then if you're married as long as we have, you realize that you actually can't live without one another. It's such a lucky place to be at. Well, that's what my wife tells me, that she can't live without me. But I can't live without her. Where is she? She disappeared. Say again? Okay. So she's not here. She usually laughs at my jokes. She's the only one. So you guys have to laugh at them now. And it's the same thing the other day. I took my son, he's now away, and I thought I'd spoil him for his birthday. We didn't buy him a gift on his birthday, and he came home for the holidays. And I said, let me take you out to go clothing shopping. And this has got nothing to do with my preachers, just a thought I'd share. We go clothing shopping, and we walk into Cotton On. It's one of his favorite stores. And I see this shirt, and I'm like, I need to buy that shirt. Very excited about the shirt. This one that I wore it for you guys today. So it's quite significant because this is the year I was born. So amazing. And I went to the changing room, and I tried the shirt on, and very excited that I found a shirt that's now got significance towards me. But then my joy turned into utter despair when I realized when I was young, I was shopping for clothing with random old dates on them. And now I'm in a shop with clothes that's got my birth date on them and just realizing that I'm getting old. But I must tell you, I think 30s and 40s is the best time. It's been the best time of my life so far. So I'm just fooling around a little and joking with you guys. So a lot to look forward to, but you know, enjoy the moment where you're at and make the most of it. So that was my intro. So it doesn't count this time for my preach, Kevin. So you can't tell me I went too long. So I want to tell you a little bit about my family and specifically my boy. And it's so amazing this morning in the prayer meeting. When you know the Lord confirms what you want to speak about. And immediately you get excited and you're like, yo, Lord, I heard you. I'm so happy. I'm so glad. But in a sense, whatever I want to say, the Lord has done a lot of it already. So just bear with me. These are going to be things that you might have experienced or the Lord has spoken to you already. But I think it's a good reminder just to dive in a little bit deeper. And I'm going to speak to you about my boy, and there was a scrum analogy, and my boy also played rugby, and he enjoyed rugby very much, and he was also in the scrum. Sorry, my mouth is dry for this, and I haven't had water since after our worship. This is a tricky situation. I'm almost scared to leave it open because I'm scared. One time someone preached and they kicked over their water and I said, listen, I don't want to be that guy one day. And now my nose is running as well. Sorry, guys. I was put a bit on the spot here. I was like, okay, you're ready to preach? Oh, I'm ready, but I had to sorry, I almost threw it back in there again. Yeah, I never learn, eh? Okay. Thank you for laughing. Thank you. So my boy, just like every time I say my boy and I speak about him, actually any one of my kids, it makes me a bit emotional. And I don't know why. Other parents also experience that. I don't know. I saw Milo also get emotional this morning when he spoke about his boy. So maybe it's just normal. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about his life. But before that, you know, I want to stress the fact that this is not because I'm a good parent and we're such good parents. We make mistakes. My daughter tells me often that I make mistakes, but she's actually mistaken. So yeah, let me get into it. So his primary school, he started playing sports and he was just picked up a knack for rugby. And he got very good in it. And amazing to see your kids do well in something. It's lekker. And he wanted to play and he went into high school. He received numerous accolades. He played Western Province. Funny story, he went to Western Province training in his Sharks jersey. And the coach told him, listen, if you come back here with a Sharks jersey on, you're not going to play for us anymore. So through his high school career, we really started seeing something on his life and a talent for playing sport. And for him, it became a goal to be able to play for a province one day. And so he wanted to sustain his lifestyle and be able to play after school and play for a province, play for university. And the longer he went on and the better he did, this became more of a thing and then a possibility for him that he will be able to do. And fast forward to his grade 11 year, really putting in extra effort for his grade 12 year. This is the year where everybody sees you. Play on TV now. You can sit at the comfort of your home, watch any match you want to for schoolboy rugby. And he did very well. Fast forward a little bit to the middle of the year. Yeah, he went to Western Province trials again and did well there. And the Western Province coaches said, listen, your son's made this final squad to go to Craven Week. For those of you who don't know, Craven Week is like the Sharks play versus the Stormers, but just on school, you know, just schoolboy level. And that's where you get noticed and get seen. And that was in the week, immediately the weekend after that, he had a school game and he played rugby. Had a freak accident, non-contact accident, and he tore his ACL in his leg. For those of you who don't know, that's a 9-month recovery period. So, realizing all of a sudden, my dreams are now gone. That's not there anymore. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to receive all these things and what I've worked for, that I've hoped for. But he had faith, and he said, listen, I'm going to trust the Lord that he's going to heal me, and this is my goal. He knows my heart. He knows what I want. And I still, like, thinking, oh, this is like faith to do that. And his faith actually stirred me up and said, listen, you know, I'm keen, you know, let's trust the Lord. And we had a prayer meeting here, and people were praying for him, and he came home that afternoon, and he said to me, Papa, the Lord spoke to me when they were praying for me. The Lord said to me that he's not going to heal me, and I have to walk this out in a situation he's put in my path that I have to walk out. It was tough for us to hear, tough for him to hear. But I don't know why and how it happened. He just took that information, and it was disappointing for him, but it didn't ruin him or ruin his life or rule his life. Something of that and saying, okay, the Lord's got a plan for me. I'm going to go for that. But obviously my plan is not his. And just in making that decision in that moment of time, something broke open over his life. And as you could see the Lord in whatever, in how he did, and when he was worshiping and when he was dealing with people and speaking to his friends in youth, you could see there's something of a change in his life. And then fast forward a little bit, he was still part of this team. He became like the coach and going with him. And then we went to his year in function, and one of the coaches said to me, listen, there's someone that wants to call you with regards to Damon. And I said to him, listen, you can give him my number. And the next morning I received a call. And this was from the Sharks Academy. And they said, listen, we want Damon to come play for us. I spoke to his doctor. I spoke to his physio. We want to invest. I don't know why I was getting emotional. We want to get invest in him, even though he can't play for us. And we'll invest for the next year. Can he come play for us? Come study there. And I was so excited, when I was speaking on the phone. Then I put the phone down and I just was so sad. And I spoke to Kevin. I said, listen, I didn't want him to make this call. Because after he couldn't play anymore, he decided to go do a discipleship year at a Bible school. And he felt that that's what the Lord has called him to. And that was where he was going. And we were excited for him. And now he was faced with this and he had to make a decision. And I said, Kevin, listen, can I not tell him? I don't want him to make this call. And Kevin said, no, he has to make it because he has to walk it out. Same situation, telling me about this difficulty year, difficult decision. It took 2 days and he only had 2 days to decide. Spent time with the Lord. And he said, listen, the Lord has called me. I must go to Leap. I'm not going to go to the Shoals. And I'm not emotional because we're sad about that. I'm emotional because of the decisions he's made. I'm sorry. It's going to get a little bit happier now. Yeah. You know, every time I come here, I said, listen, let me speak about something that's not going to make me emotional. Maybe I should stop speaking about my kids and my family. Anyway, sorry. Guy. So what am I trying to say? And what is the moral of the story is that if you make good decisions in our bad times, the Lord will bless those decisions. And that's what I'm going to speak about today is what do we do when we face trials? And this morning we spoke about trials in the prayer meeting and in the worship as well. We spoke a little bit about trials and what we face and breakthroughs and things like that. And the fact is this is, we will all face highs and lows in our life, but there's a certain calling on our lives that when we face those times of how we process and manage and work through them. And if you go to the Bible and we look at a story in the Bible and we see Joseph. Joseph, and just broad strokes, was very short, had brothers that was envious of him and they sold him to slavery at the age of 17. And then through slavery, he ended up in Egypt and then was accused of sleeping with his master's wife and ended up in jail. And then he interpreted dreams in jail. Because of that, Pharaoh had dreams and he heard, sorry, there's a bit of an echo. Pharaoh heard that he had dreams and he went to Pharaoh and he interpreted his dreams that there was going to be famine in Egypt and that they make a plan in order for this famine not to, or when it happens that there is food. Pharaoh was so impressed, he put him second in charge of his whole kingdom. And through that, and when famine came, his family actually came, his brothers came to him and he said they were looking for food because there was no food by them. And they didn't recognize him, but Joseph recognized him. Long story short, Joseph saw his brothers, reconciled with them, and invited them and the whole family to come to Egypt, to come stay close to him. And if you look at the story in Luke of Jesus, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, immediately after that, it says he was baptized and the Holy Spirit ascended on him like a dove. And immediately from there, he went into temptation, 40 days and 40 nights of testing. And these are two totally different stories, but there's two things, or the similar things here, is that in both situations, they both faced good times and they both faced bad times or difficult times. In Joseph's time, it's just like Damon, the decisions he's made in his difficult time, because of the way he treated his brothers when he saw them, the Lord blessed him and he blessed his offspring after that. And for Jesus, the Holy Spirit knew for what he had to face, he would have to be empowered. He has to give him something to face these trials. And it's the same for us. Sometimes what we face in our trials builds us up for what's to come. And sometimes the Lord empowers us and puts us on a mountaintop. And I want to speak about mountaintop and valley moments so that we experience something of him for what is to come. And we need to determine where we are at with regard to that. So let's turn to a scripture. In 1 Corinthians 7:17, it says, nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called him. So just as Jesus, Joseph, and so many others, we are called to live where the Lord has placed us. But what I see so many times in my own life and people that I sit with and sometimes speak to, is that whatever season we find ourselves in, if it's not a good one, we wish it away and say, Lord, can you take this from me? I don't want to experience this. I don't want to go through this, Lord. Why are you putting me in this situation? We wallow in where we find ourselves. And because it's so difficult, Lord, I'm going to do this and I'm going to react this way. I'm not going to treat my kids with patience or whatever. We don't process those moments well. And the reality is this, we all will be in a situation where we'll have high moments and low moments. And those high moments, you know, it's easy. You come to church, you're smiling at everybody, you're greeting everybody, you're saying hello, you're patient with your kids and with your wife, almost said your dog, with your wife. You know, everything is just going well. But the reality is this, we need to use that as a standard of living, not only in our good times, but our bad times as well. The Lord calls us to do that. But those moments are not meant to be forever. We cannot live our lives expecting or from one high moment to the next. We need to live our lives in between. And we sang about Jesus over everything, and that thing about we shout Jesus on the mountaintops and also Jesus in the streets. We need to acknowledge Him everywhere we are. We do. And I see it so many times, and once again, I'm speaking to myself here, where we're in a difficult situation. We just go into crisis mode, and we just react. We must never allow the feelings that we receive from the Lord, or the revelation we receive in those moments, in those high mountaintop moments, to evaporate. We need to live up to them in our low moments. That needs to be the standard in our low moments. We need to live in the gray moments and the valley moments that God has placed us in. And you, if you're like me, sometimes in those moments where it's so tough, you don't hear God. The Lord seems far away and He's just quiet. And which sometimes happens, and there's a reason for that. And the same with my son a year or two ago, I said to him, boy, there's going to be in some situations where you're going to have to make calls for yourself and make decisions. Not because I don't love you, but because I love you, I actually need to train you to make these decisions. So I'm, in a sense, going to be a little bit quieter in certain situations where you find yourself. And maybe when you want advice, I'm going to refer to you and say, listen, what has the Lord said to you? What has the Lord given you in this moment? I have to deal with that. And I'm actually not withdrawing. In a sense, I'm actually magnifying my even more, because now I need to look at what He's doing so I can help Him if He does make a mistake or fall short. And that's exactly what the Lord does to us in those moments. He withdraws Himself because He's put something in each and every one of us through the difficult times and the good times, so that we can stand when trials and tribulations come. In a sense, it's a test to see where you are and what you still need to work on and what you still need to learn. But there's a promise with that. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for your Lord, your God, goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Oftentimes, the Holy Spirit leads us into situations where we need to face our enemy in order to grow. We need to do that because He refines us and He makes us more like Him. And we need to face these low valley moments in order to grow. If we look at the story of the event of Jesus, and we look at Luke 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And the same was for Joseph. Sorry. Oh. So, it's a difficult situation, this. And I love that. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. And He was on His way to be tempted for 40 days, 40 nights. And I wish I hope that when I face my trials, that I can say, Wagner, full of the Holy Spirit, went to face that. And I think that's what the Lord has called us to do, is to be full of Him when we face these trials. And when it's going good, a lot of the times we spend less time with Him. You can be, it's okay, life is good. I'm not going to, you know, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. You spend a little time, less time with Jesus. But actually, so the more we need to press in. There needs to be a standard in our quiet time. It cannot be affected up or down where we find ourselves. And it says that He was led by the Spirit, so which means the Spirit took Him there to be tempted. The same with Joseph in Genesis 45, verse 8. So then it was not you who sent me here, and He was speaking to His brothers, but God. The truth is, the Lord takes us through these valleys to refine us to make us more effective, to build character, to teach us life skills, and to reflect Him more. And you might be here this morning saying, listen, I find myself somewhere because of sin and disobedience. The Lord has not let me here. My actions let me here. And I want to comfort you in that. I want to comfort you in that. There's a scripture in Romans that says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those you love. So whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, and for whatever reason, the Lord is in that and He's with you and He's growing you through that situation. And whatever it is, He will use it for His glory. But we must remember, and sometimes we forget, is when we come to God and He forgives us our sin, but sometimes we bear the consequences of our sin. And the responsibility still lies on us to walk that out. And I see a lot of the times people struggle with that because they say, the Lord forgave me, but why am I dealing with these things? It's because sometimes you still have to walk out, and there's a responsibility on us to walk that out. So the next statement I want to make, if you remember anything, please remember this. And it's maybe tough to hear. We cannot be led by our feelings or emotions. We need to be led by the truth. And, you know, a while back I had this conversation with my wife, and I had to tell her, I said, listen, babe, you cannot let your circumstances or what you feel determine the way you react. And it's not wrong to have feelings or emotions. I thank the Lord for my wife that is, I don't want to say, I almost said emotional. She's not emotional, but she processes on an emotional level, and it's an asset to me and to us as a unit, because I don't. I'm a practical guy. But because we make a good team because of that. But the thing is this, it cannot lead us in our times of trials and troubles. We cannot be led by it. We need to be led by the truth. There's a saying, as I was preparing, and it goes like this, every day is a mountaintop experience for me. Some days I'm on top of the mountain, and the other days the mountain is on top of me. And that is a perfect example for us as Christians not to live our lives. I read a Chinese parable as well, and the reality is this, we don't know what's good or bad situations. It might be bad for where you find yourself at, but you don't actually know what the Lord is doing. And there's this Chinese parable that goes like this. There was a Chinese farmer, a poor farmer, and he had a piece of land, and a horse came running onto his land. And in those days, a horse was a sign of wealth and prosperity, and he was very happy, and that was a good day for the farmer. The very next morning, this horse ran away, and that was a bad day for the farmer. The next morning, the horse came back with 20 other horses. That was a good day for the farmer. The next morning, his son climbed on the horse and he rode the horse and he fell off and he broke his leg. That was a bad day for the farmer. The next morning, a warlord came and he was commissioning people to kids and young men for his army. And he said to the farmer, he said, I need your son to come fight in the army. And he said, my son can't because he has a broken leg. And that was a good day for the farmer. The reality is this, we do not know what is a good or a bad day. It might be bad today, but it's actually good. And we need to settle that. And just as Joseph, if we refer back to his story, he was sold into slavery, 13 years he went through this. And then ultimately, because of his interpretation of dreams, he predicted famine. And his family could come there to get food in order to stay alive. Ultimately, because of him being sold into slavery, it saved his family's life. And as Christians, sometimes we say, Lord, why do I have to go through this? I've been saved for 10 years, 15 years. Some of you have been saved for much longer than that. And we say, Lord, why do I have to go through this? Why are you taking me through this situation again? And why the same mountain? Why a new mountain, Lord? What must I do? You know, I'm your child. Why are you doing this to me? And I've learned, you know, I've got breakthrough in all the situations. Why must I go through this? And it's simple. And I'm going to use an analogy to explain it. I go to gym, and you can take this with food as well, diet. You know, if you look at the first 2 or 3 months of your exercising, they call it newbie gains. So the first 2 or 3 months, you think like, yo, I'm going to be ripped in 6 months. Because if you look at what happened the first 3 months, you're not thinking like things are happening fast here. The same with dieting. You know, the first 2 or 3 months, you lose a lot of weight. And then what happens? It just goes like this. You can put in the same effort, but you don't see the same results over the same period of time. And it's the same with us as Christians. The Lord refines us every day. Should refine us every day. We become more and more pure. But there is still refinement that needs to be done in all of us. And the longer we go through that process, the more difficult. And it takes longer to be refined. So we will always face trials. We will. Till the day you are with Jesus, we will go through this because he's refining us to make us effective and a useful tool that he can use. There's a saying, it says, difficulty is the nurse of greatness. It's the same as a nurse nurses you to health and makes you better. The same your difficult situation or circumstance does. It nurses you to become greater in the kingdom. So difficult times are necessary, and we should never wish them away. Never. We should embrace them, work through them, see what the Lord is trying to do in those situations. The reality is this, we all want sunshine days. We love the sunshine, or some of us do, some of us might not. But we have sunshine all the time, you know, over a long period of time, we'll stay in a desert. It will be a desert place. We need rain in order to grow. And the same for us, we need our valleys in order to grow us. So I want to focus a little bit on the truth that I spoke about and what we need to rely on and what it's the tools we have and that the Lord has given us in this life we live in order to sustain us in these difficult times. And the first one that I want to focus on is covenant. And we spoke about covenant last 2 weeks, and Kevin unpacked it so wonderfully for us, and it's real life on that. And if I think about covenant, the first thing that comes to mind and to my mind is marriage. And I think about my wedding day, and I think about my vows that I made to my wife. And a lot of you might have made your own vows, but it comes down to this simple thing, is for richer or for poorer, through sickness and in health, for good or bad. And that's what the Lord has made with each and every one that has accepted him here this morning, is a covenant that he'll be there for you, for richer or for poorer, through sickness and in health, through good times and bad. But what happens? Bad times come. And the same, if you look at marriages in the world, bad times come, what do? The first thing you question is a covenant. And you say, Lord, is this really my wife? That I make the promise I made maybe was wrong, it's the wrong person. And we do the same with God. We find ourselves in strange questioning. Lord, did you really say that? Are you really there for me? And then we take and remove ourselves in a way from that covenant. So we are the ones that don't fulfill the covenant with him when we experience these low or valley moments, because we're overwhelmed by where we find ourselves. And the reality is this, we need to exchange our burdens and our struggles and our trials for joy in Jesus. And we can do that because of the covenant we have with him. It's his promise to us. It's what we have in him. It's one of the truths that we can rely on in our daily walk. Is our covenant with Jesus. Then the next thing, a truth that you can use when you find yourself in these times, is I want to share a scripture with you, John 16, verse 13. It says, "But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Jesus sent each and every one of us a helper. He promised that to the disciples. And we need to be sensitive to that helper. We need to spend time with that helper. Not when we need him, but we need to spend time with him every day so that we hear his voice, we know his voice, so that when it gets loud and things want our attention, that we know the voice that we need to follow. We need to listen to his commands and guidance as he gives it to us and as he leads and guides us. Zechariah says, "Not by might, not by power, but my spirit." And we cannot, and you cannot do these times and when you face trials without the Spirit. We need him. Not by your might, not by your power, but only by the Spirit. And I would encourage you, when you find yourself in these valleys, in these moments, is to just take some time. And if you're anything like me, I'm a fixer. As soon as I've got a problem, I just want to sort it out. Get a plan, make a plan, get through it. But I would encourage you, just sit down. Take stock, sit with Jesus, spend time with him, quiet your mind. Say, Lord, what are you showing me through this? What are you trying to do in my life? Where do I need to go from here? And a lot of the times we can just pick up the Bible, and there's so many verses in the Bible that we can use to help us through this. You might say, Lord, I'm lonely. I can't do this by myself anymore. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious hand." So beautiful. "I will hold you up with my victorious hand. Lord, I do not know how I will get through this situation." Psalm 46 verse 1 says, "God is a refuge and strength in times of trouble." Lord, it's tough to be. Lord, it's tough. Be here with me through the situation. Help me through the situation. I don't know what to do. Help me through the situation you've called me to. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." And I promise you, if you apply these three truths in your life, when you face trials and you find yourself in difficult situations, you will get through them. You will not only get through them, you will grow through them. And I want to put out a disclaimer. By no means I'm saying, listen, you cannot be sad, or you cannot experience emotion, or you cannot take a day or two, gather yourself. Life is tough. We know that. That's not what the Lord says. He doesn't call us to be robots at all. He gave us emotions for a reason, and we can embrace those emotions. But what we cannot do is we cannot camp there. We cannot let our emotions lead us. You might say, "I'm not hearing God in this situation." I've said that a lot of times. I said, "I don't know. Kevin knows." I said, I don't know. Kevin walked some hard roads with me. But then I had to settle. Like, Lord, who did you put in my life? And you are here for a specific reason in a fellowship of believers. The Lord has put people around you. And sometimes you need to trust. And just as Junior shared, you need to trust the voice of God through the people that He's put around you when you cannot get out of the situation yourself. My journey with the Lord has been full of ups and downs. But as I was preparing this, there's not one moment in time that I can refer back to that I said the Lord did something miraculous in my life when I was in a good space, when I was on a mountaintop. Every experience in my life, in every part that I could say there was a significant turn in my life, happened through difficult times. Might not be the same with you, but I know that's how the Lord grows people, because He grew me like that. And I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for my difficult times. So in closing, just to recap, first point, realize that mountaintops and valleys are unavoidable. Jesus had mountaintop and valley moments. They are necessary to grow us. This is the last one. Remember that you are never alone on the mountain or in the valley. He's always there, and He's put people around you that's always there for you. Don't build on a mountaintop. Don't camp in a valley. Do not build your faith on the high, exciting experiences in God, but enjoy them. Do not let your life become all about your valley. Don't camp there. Persevere. God can use you on the mountain or in the valley, and that's very important. We should all be effective for the Lord. Doesn't matter where we find ourselves. We cannot let our situation determine that. The Lord's got a plan for the world, and He uses us to reach them. And if all of us only serve Jesus and do what He says when we're in a good space, I don't have hope for the world. In your comfort, comfort others. Rejoice with those on the mountain. Be there for those in the valley. And then we must remember and never forget is that these ups and downs that we experience in this life will come to an end. And Luke 4 verse 14 says, "You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." So stand firm that the things you experience here is temporary. And we need to keep our eyes on the prize, and that's eternal life with Jesus, where there will be no valleys. So I hope something of what I said this morning resonated with you a little bit. And like I said, it's so amazing to know that the Lord has already come and He's dealt with our hearts and in a sense softened our hearts for what I wanted to say. Because I believe, like I told Lee, maybe don't even have to preach because it's exactly what I wanted to say. But there's definitely a sense that the Lord wants to do something this morning, and I believe he has. But maybe what we can do is, let's all stand. Cindy, where are you, Cindy? Cindy? No, other Cindy? Other Cindy's not here. Say again? Oh, she didn't give you the word this morning. Okay. Oh, Cindy, this Cindy. Yeah, this year. Sorry, I was confused. Cindy always comes to give me a word, and then it's not that Cindy, it's other Cindy. Sorry. Cindy, say, come to share, asseblief. Are you guys okay with this? I didn't want it to come across as a heavy whatsoever. But it is, in a sense, very, very, very important because it's something that affects, there's not one person here today that can say that they don't struggle with that. It affects all of us. And we need to be aware of these things and be equipped to be able to process them.
Just want to add on to something vanishing about the feelings. In the week, Lizardi and I listened to a talk from Derek Prince, and he spoke about the three F's that we all need to face: feelings, facts, and faith. And he says, ultimately, what we need to make sure we get it in the right order, where we find faith. And with the faith that we found, we process the facts in life, and that determines our feeling. But many times when we go through these valley moments, we first focus on our feelings, and that determines our facts, and then the facts are false, and then we have weak faith. And the key is actually to get it in the right order and not the other way wrong. So it's not that these three are real. It's not either one is wrong. We need to make sure it's in the right order.
I just felt that in worship this morning when we were all called forward to respond, and in light of what Varnish said, some of us don't know how to respond because we don't relate to God as our Father. We've got this broken image of what our dad looks like on earth, but God is our Father and we're called children of Christ. And as you respond this morning, don't think of how you're going to respond to your dad. He's our Father. Respond to him based on that.